Welcome to My on Mondays, an explorative approach to the possessive my through narratives, art, and sound. Each Monday brings a new creation and unique perspective. My on Mondays is brought to you by Ming Studios, a contemporary art space and international artist residency program dedicated to the exhibition, experience, and exploration of arts and culture. Along with exhibiting artists from around the world, Ming also serves the community by hosting innovative programs including performances, workshops, screenings, readings, artist talks, and other cultural activities. For more information, or if you'd like to participate in My on Mondays, you can visit our website at mingstudios.org. Good morning and welcome to the 124th episode of My on Mondays. Today's featured artist is Elizabeth Sharp McKetta, a frequent contributor to Ming Studios programming, with a wonderful new selection from her vast collection of poetry writing. Elizabeth is an award-winning writer and writing teacher and mother of two. With a PhD on the intersections between fairy tales and autobiography, as well as a 7-year streak of writing weekly poems for strangers, she teaches writing for Oxford Department for Continuing Education and for Harvard Extension School, where she won their highest teaching award. She has authored 13 books, most recently The Personal Growth Guide, Edit Your Life, based on the experience of living 3 years in a 275-square-foot backyard guest house with her family of four, five if you count the Labrador. And the middle-grade novel Arc, set during the pandemic and described by Kirkus Reviews as infectiously hopeful. Elizabeth co-edited the anthology What Doesn't Kill Her, Women's Stories of Resilience, which Gloria Steinem described as stories that will help each of us to trust and tell our own. Her poetry and short work have been published widely, including in The Poetry Review and Real Simple, and her work with myth and memoir has been spotlighted in Harvard Magazine. Her piece today is titled My Beans, Spiders, and Mammals.
Good morning. You are going to hear some birds in the background because it is early morning where I am. This is Elizabeth Sharp McKetta. I'm the author of 13 books of poetry and prose, most recently the middle grade novel Arc. I also teach writing for the writing programs at Harvard and Oxford. No matter how many books I write and in how many genres, I always come back to poetry. Both of my children were born in Boise, and that was where they spent the beginning of their childhoods. And it is such a wonderful community for the arts and for children. And so partly to teach myself how to write poems and partly to entertain my children, I began a poetry project called Poetry for Strangers. And in it for 7 years, I met during the course of my ordinary days out in the world with my kids, strangers. It might be someone who sold us fish at Real Foods, or it might be someone at a cafe, or it might be someone who worked at my children's school who I met for the first time. But always in the course of a week, we would meet interesting, kind people. And once a week, I would ask one of them for a word that I could use in a poem. And then I would write a poem based on their word and email it to them and share it with my small but loyal readership as well. Certain themes came up in these poems, and one of them was the theme of fairy tales, which are something that I have always loved and always studied and loved to tell to my children. So many rewritten fairy tales. And also just because of the facts of my life at that point, the theme of motherhood and of children and of the fast movement of time became major players in my poems as well. I will read three poems of my own. The first poem of mine is from my Poetry for Strangers book, Volume 2, and it is called Umbrella. And I will read both the introduction to the stranger who gave me the word and the poem itself. The stranger, Maggie. The word, umbrella. I met Maggie on a subway ride when everything went wrong. We were both coming off trips, hers international, mine short. First, the train from the airport stopped early due to construction, and Maggie and I ended up riding in reverse back toward the airport. Then there was a second break in the track, which meant we had to get off the train, take a bus, then go back to the train for the final two stops. Maggie had been traveling all night from France. We were on the train together for nearly 2 hours. But at one point, after dark, when we were forced off the train and waiting for our shuttle bus, we paused to take a view of the park at night. It was a small moment of beauty, a triumph in a trip of logistical failures. The poem. Say all your unlived months are beans, small, dry, unplanted. Their possibility not yet shriveled. Say there's a fairy tale with your name written on it. You live at home with your mother and perhaps a cow until you are 192 beans old. You can hold that many in half a hand. Your beans can be soy or lima, the smaller the better. Keep them anywhere. Your desk, a small purple bag where you used to keep treasure. You may count them, but not too often. Say you've been starving all winter, which is to say three beans. You know that words are wishes, and beans even more so. Wish on this bean. Toss it off the roof and see if it grows. What giant dreams it will lead up to. If you do nothing at all when the month turns, one more bean is gone. You might as well plant them and climb. But you might not be Jack at all, for there is still the ogre living in domestic bliss and harmony on top of the sky, higher than a mathematician can count or a hungry boy can climb. Ogre is familiar, for we rest on clouds and count our luck, each gold piece an unbitten chance, a symbol of anything we like, a bean. Jack, whoever Jack is, will come unhidden and kill this world. So enjoy it once, for a moment, please, before it collapses and the giant falls. There's the ogre's wife moving furniture around, potting meat for winter, sweeping dust with a giant broom and leaving it in the corner, where she keeps the umbrella. Say a small boy, maybe hero and maybe food, is hiding there, noiseless beneath the ribs. Small boy, this squirt who is one of us, isn't looking at the ogre's wife or bag of gold, but at his fingers. In his hand is a harp singing, and you can hear it almost, her song. She is self-complete, made of air and gold. She is like nothing on earth. She is singing, hear it? About the beauty of beans. The second poem I will read of mine is from my first poetry collection called The Fairy Tales Mammals Tell, and the poem is called Metronome. She has eaten. It's not that. But panic woke her, and now she needs me to breathe her back to sleep. I put my face near hers. Deep in, deep out. Intertidal. Her mouth pulses like a squid. She's learning. We are beached on our sides, bare-bellied, her tidal mouth muscles working her thumb. I close my eyes so she will close hers, so she will mirror me into the dark coves of sleep, oceaning together, she and I. At last, we are both quiet. The third and final poem was published in the Poetry Review in 2020, and it is called Her Animal. Once an orb spider laid two egg sacs in a skylight of the greenhouse that my mother kept, two identical globes in her queer gauze light. My mother stands in the room as if it were the bathroom, 4 by 5 feet. She looks inside and sees her animal. She feels life slanting away. She, who saves earthworms after rainstorms, had decided to feed this spider. Somewhere along the line, somewhere in the story, someone is talking about a mother. No, a writer. No, an animal. She collected dying insects in coffee mugs and tossed them up to her. She dropped through musty greenhouse air to wrap each in white, funereal and precise. My mother must feed somebody. She knows somewhere the young might be hungry. I carry through my decades an image of her webs, strung from corner to corner to corner, and weighted with so many insects, so many still living bodies demanding their say, saying that they want out, sagging the web heavy, dying down to the ground. With orb spider eyes, I watch them. Then I look away, find another branch, another unused greenhouse, even if there is nothing to eat. Each generation says, the world is too much. To adjust a life takes a lifetime. Suppose she is living still, she and the woman who feeds her. And the final poem I will read by Sharon Olds is her rite of passage. As the guests arrive at our son's party, they gather in the living room. Short men, men in first grade with smooth jaws and chins, hands in pockets. They stand around jostling, jockeying for place, small fights breaking out and calming. One says to another, "How old are you?" "6." "I'm 7. "So?" They eye each other, seeing themselves tiny in the other's pupils. They clear their throats a lot, a room of small bankers. They fold their arms and frown. "I could beat you up," a 7 says to a 6. The midnight cake, round and heavy as a turret behind them on the table. My son, freckles like specks of nutmeg on his cheeks. Chest narrow as the balsa keel of a model boat. Long hands cool and thin as the day they guided him out of me. Speaks up as a host for the sake of the group. "We could easily kill a 2-year-old, he says in his clear voice. The other men agree. They clear their throats like generals. They relax and get down to playing war, celebrating my son's life. Thank you for listening to these poems.
Thank you for joining us today. We'll be back next Monday. Tune in.